The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. Thank you for joining me again, and thank you for going to our YouTube page and our Facebook page. So don't forget, keep on sending your friends. I'm telling you, I'm 57. I get calls every day almost from people that are dealing with their families, dealing with their children, looking for resources, whether it's legal, financial, healthcare, healthy aging tips, you name it. If I don't know the answer, I'll find the answer. I'll get you a resource. I'll make some calls around town. But if you call me, leave a message. Otherwise, text me. Tell me who you are and what you need. You know, I'll forward it to the resources that we have available through Generations Magazine. So thank you very much. And don't forget Generations808.com, where you can click on the search bar if you want to click on Medicaid or Medicare or Social Security. All the articles will pass down. Look on the resources tab because August issue or August September issue is our biggest issue of the year because we distribute it at the Senior Fair. And it has the most popular resource guide, which is senior discounts. So check that out. A lot of more senior discounts. In fact, I found a few places like Ross's and a few other places, stores, that they start at 55 years old. And even some restaurants start at 50. So, hey, doesn't hurt to ask, what's your senior rate? You know, I go off at Olawa and I was telling the city guy over there, man, you got to lower your senior rate. 65 is too old, man. You got to bring it on like 60 or 55 because the senior clubs that we have through the Parks and Rec services starts at 55, I believe, or 60. But anyway, thanks for joining. Our August-September issue, like I said, is out featuring Roy Sukuma on the cover. So thank you, Roy and Kathy. They will also be the 2017 Ambassador of the Senior Fair. So come Friday, because he will be signing autographs and signing the cover of the magazine at a table right in front of the big stage at the Senior Fair. So thank you very much, Roy and Kathy. But anyway, as we age, and like I said, August 19th is our Aging in Place workshop. We're all going to be dealing with resources in need of services and programs. So today, one of the more popular topics that we always talk about is Medicaid planning. And we have Dan Bonilla from MedData here in Hawaii, and we're going to talk about Medicaid planning when it comes to long-term care. So, Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on today, Percy. It's a real treat to come out and talk to you and your listeners.
Yeah, but you're not nervous. Danny said, oh, I've never done this before, but you're fine. Well, luckily, we've been friends for a while, and you know, our sons played ball together. And
yep.
So, no, you're fine. You're fine. So MedData used to be called Cardin Outreach.
That's right. We actually made a change earlier this year. For many years, since 1995, we've been actually here in Hawaii under the name of Cardin Outreach and been a private company. We ended up expanding our business out and merged with a company from the mainland called MedData. So it's really good for us here in Hawaii because it allows us to offer more services than what we did before, but still keep the core team that's always been here in place working and going strong in the community and the hospitals.
Yeah. And MedData is a big company, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Nationwide company.
And so give our audience listeners pretty much the same thing as Cardin Outreach, but can expand upon some of the other, because we're going to talk about long-term care specifically with you and Medicaid, but sure. What other services have made it?
Sure.
Just briefly.
So MedData ourselves, we primarily work out of the hospitals, and we're here to help people apply for any type of Medicaid they might be, whether it be regular Quest services, aged blind disabled services. We actually even help with Social Security disability planning, right, and helping people apply for that. And then obviously the long-term care proponent of everything as well. So we really cover the gambit. What's really interesting, though, is I'm the only one for our company that does this out in the community and offers these services to people outside of a hospital setting. Our director, Cassandra Stewart, had saw there was a great need for it here, and I had actually been working out of the hospitals for her, and she offered me the opportunity to come out here and do this and start this pilot program out here in the community.
Well, don't you find more seniors at some point looking at Medicaid as an option to pay for their long-term care
needs? Oh, yeah. What it really boils down to is the cost of care and the cost of having somebody provide what you need later on in life. When we talk about a nursing facility, for example, it's an easy estimate to say it's going to cost in a nursing facility setting anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000 a month. You know, and even if you've planned well throughout your life and you've put away a nest egg, that is going to deplete very quickly at those costs there.
Yeah.
And we kind of look at what do we need to do if we're not eligible today, but to plan for the future and to see when the time arises that we have coverage and we can continue our care or we have the care that we need.
I think Hawaii, last time I looked at figures, Hawaii was the fourth highest in the country. Oh. Not the highest, but the fourth highest. But I think for us, because we live longer than any other state.
I was just going to say that.
You know, we're going to need some form of care. I mean, I always tell people the healthier you are, great. Live longer, great. But what I'm also saying is that you're not going to die right away.
That's right.
So you'll need some form of care. And I believe everybody is going to need some form of care down the road. And we definitely see it growing in Hawaii, the need for care, more and more so. So when it comes to Medicaid, what are some of the common questions that you get regarding to Medicaid?
There's a lot of misconceptions out there, actually, for Medicaid. Allow me to answer it like this. And a lot of times people assume that they're not eligible for it. And by sitting down and talking with somebody like me, you're able to see, actually, hey, you might be eligible. For example, people think that, you know what, I have some money in the bank. There's no way the state's going to cover me or no way I'm going to be eligible for it. But what it really boils down to is the asset limits and the rules set down for Medicaid and the intent behind those rules. For example, for a household of one or a single person or a widowed person, yes, the asset limit is kind of small for Medicaid. It's set at about $2,000. Now, when we're talking for long-term care and you're married, you still have a spouse, it actually jumps up considerably to $119,220. And a lot of people don't realize that. $119,220. And now that's a great amount. And the whole point of it is the state understands that as a married couple, you guys have accumulated assets. And it's not just one person we have to factor into here now. A lot of times people get worried about, well, spending my spouse to a facility or to a foster family, what's going to happen to me? You still got to take care of yourself too. And that's kind of why that level is set as high as well, to allow for that.
So what are some of the other myths that you talked about?
A lot of the other myths we have is there's a big confusion when they talk about long-term care and if you own a home. There is a five-year look-back period with Medicaid where they can look back over all your accounts, your bank accounts, or anything that you've done and look at transactions and question what you've done with it. Basically, what it amounts to in layman's terms is you can't give assets away to make yourself eligible.
To basically make you poor.
That's right. That's right. So, for example,
even though they do it.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're talking about the legal ways to qualify.
Correct.
I'll be telling you, folks, I'm not a big fan of Medicaid. I will tell you, Department of Human Services, Department of Health do a great job. Even though you see complaints, they do a great job. They do a fantastic job and take care of our seniors. Medicaid is an option. I just think, I believe in planning and not have to go that route. I mean, worst case, you may have to, but I think they need to plan. So, yeah.
Yep. Well, I would label it out like this. Medicaid is there for you. It's an option. It's maybe your last option, but it's definitely there. And you pay your taxes to the state. You know, you have that right and you have that benefit, you know, to take advantage of it if you need
to. Right. So in regards to qualifying, what are some of these? You mentioned a couple of myths. Let's go through the list of myths.
Okay. So like, for example, we're talking about the five-year look back period and especially how it relates to a home. A lot of people own their home in a trust. and they may have moved it in around 5 years or more ago. A lot of times they'll think, hey, I'm good to go for Medicaid here. And when they apply for Medicaid, if they are a single person, the state may actually ask them to remove that home from the trust.
And yeah, but you cannot be in a trust.
That's right. And allow them to place a lien on the property for you. And what this goes back to is what's called the Medicaid Recovery Act. Remember how we said, you know, in a nursing facility, it costs anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000 a month to take care of somebody. And that's an ongoing cost. It's indefinite. We don't know how long you're going to be in there. Now, imagine if everybody in the state that needed long-term care, the state was having to pay this $8,000 to $12,000 a month. That's a huge bill. I mean, the state would absolutely go bankrupt very quickly here. So what they say is, if you can afford to pay it back, we need to be reimbursed eventually somehow. And the intent behind it is this. If you own a property, we're going to place a lien on your property. And eventually when you die, and eventually when that property is sold, we're going to come knocking as a creditor to say, hey, we need to recoup some of the money that we've put back in. As of right now, the state has not ever been forcing people to sell these properties. They have not said, hey, you know, get rid of it right now. We need to be paid back right now, which is a good thing, you know. But what they're saying is, look, we're patient, but we need to get this back if we want to operate this for everybody. So back to what I was saying is, a lot of times I've seen clients come in and they've gotten a letter from their attorney who did the trust for them, said, hey, you're past the 5-year Medicaid look back period. Yeah. You're good. And we say, no, that's really a separate issue here. The 5-year look back period, it was for the can't transfer assets away from yourself to make yourself eligible within 5 years. This is now the Medicaid Recovery Act, so they still may ask you to pull it out. Now, there are exceptions to that, though, and this is what a lot of people don't understand as well. If you have a spouse still living in that property, the state can't place a lien.
So in other words, if I'm living there with my wife and my wife is healthy, I'm not, I go out and Medicaid.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people need to remember now, if you go on Medicaid, you cannot stay in your home.
That's right.
So I go out of the home, I pass away, and I'm living in a foster care home. And when I pass away, if my spouse is living in a home, is still alive and living there, they cannot put a lien on that property. Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. That is correct.
For how long?
That is from when you go in, from my understanding, from the get-go. It's a moot point after you're already approved for it. It's not like they're going to come back later on in life and say, hey, spouse is out of the property. Now we're going to put this on here. The second condition is this.
So wait. So when I pass away, they cannot put a lien on my home that I live with my wife.
Correct.
What happens when my wife dies?
Now, it depends. Is she applying for Medicaid at that time or not?
No, she passed away. She's passed away after me.
She's passed away.
So a year later, she passed away. She didn't go on Medicaid. But
no. From my understanding, they cannot go back and place that lien. So if I'm understanding you correctly, then you go into a long-term care facility. A year later, your spouse passes away.
No, I pass away. Ooh. So they would not put a lien on a property because she lives there.
Correct. Correct.
But when
correct.
She passed away, they can't go back.
Correct.
Got it.
Correct. Got it. Now, the other way that works is like this as well. If there is a disabled child who's been living in the house, okay, or if there is an adult child who has been living in the house and taking care of you for more than 2 years, and that's important because a lot of times what I've found here in Hawaii, a lot of the clients I see, they may be a widow and they may have a child who's been living in their house with them and help providing that care.
Right.
Now, that's a great thing because now we say this falls under the exceptions for the lien of the property there. So there are a lot of...
So let's back up because I'm a devil's advocate. I've seen so many situations. Let's say I'm living there with my wife. I have to go out for long-term care. I want to get qualified. They take the property out of trust. And my wife is living in the house. I'm living in a care facility. What happens if my wife passes away before I do, though?
Okay, so your wife is in the home and you're in the facility in this scenario.
Right.
Right.
On Medicaid, stays paying for my care in a facility or foster care home, whatever.
And if your wife passes away, so now that means the house is vacant. Nobody's living in the property right now. Okay. I have not heard of the state going back and putting a lien on the property at that time, okay? However, if the property is in a trust, it could open up a few avenues there, and that's something that we would have to explore in depth of working with them and go through. I have not seen any cases in my experience where they've gone back.
Yeah, I have not either. All I know, but the property cannot be in trust either, though.
Yes, remember? Correct.
So, okay. So I'm always thinking of different things. So are you familiar with how people get qualified? Because that's always the big deal.
Yes.
You know, I'm not a big fan of companies trying to get you to plan for Medicaid. I'm not a big fan of companies that try to say it's very costly. You better go on Medicaid because, you know, I think the first thing should be quality of care.
Yes.
And if you got to run a bankrupt yourself, but taking care of mom and dad got to be the priority. So let's go see qualifying wise. There's so many different qualifying things. Property cannot be in trust. Mm-hmm. Can it be in an irrevocable trust?
Correct.
It can.
Yes.
Okay.
But let's start again. Let's back up a little bit more here too.
Okay.
Because a lot of times, let's go back to what the intent of all this is. And this is a way to actually simplify all the anxiety and all the confusion that people have with the Medicaid process and how to become eligible for it. What I find is working with my clients is we explain it out and we look at what the intent of the rule is. Just like we said for the Medicaid Recovery Act, we understand now the intent is, hey, the state can't afford to pay for everybody at this time. They need to recoup some money here or they can't run the program. If we can look at things through a lens like that, things will be a lot clearer. So, for example, let's start with the qualifications for Medicaid here. There are two biggies that you're going to look at. There's one going to be on the clinical side, and there's one going to be on the financial side. On the clinical side, for long-term care, you have to meet a certain need or level of care, and they're going to do an inspection for you. A doctor's going to examine you, and it's called the 1147, or HELOC, and that stands for Hawaii Level of Care. As long as you meet the points on that, basically a doctor's going to take a look at, can you do the ADLs of daily life? Can you feed yourself? Can you go to the bathroom on your own? Can you get up and walk around? What's your cognizance level? And they're going to rate you on a point system. As long as you meet the points, then you should be qualified for the clinical side there. Now, there is one caveat to that, though. Above long-term care is the term of hospice. And hospice may or may not be covered by Medicaid, depending on the situation.
Well, Medicare will cover a lot of the hospice, so I don't think Medicaid...
Correct. But what it boils down to is if you have the points that fit you into hospice, for Medicaid to cover, you have to receive that hospice in either a long-term care facility, okay? It cannot be in a hospice facility like that. And then they will pay for the room and board and take care of the things on that end for it. So that'll cover on the clinical side there. Now let's talk about the financial side there. The financial side of it, income is really not an issue when we talk about long-term care. If we're talking about regular Medicaid, just medical coverage, then it does have an income limit. The reason why, and let's go back to the intent of this, where income does not count. There's something called your cost share, and this is a term you're going to hear thrown around a lot when you're working with Medicaid. A lot of people have the misconception they think that Medicaid is going to cover everything for you. Let's talk about it in the reality of what it is. Is Medicaid, I like to say, is going to supplement everything for you and is going to cover whatever you cannot cover yourself. Mm-hmm. So let's give a great example of the $8,000 to $12,000 in a nursing facility. It's not uncommon for somebody to bring home anywhere from $1,000 to maybe $2,000 between Social Security and pension themselves every month. So what the state is going to say is, okay, there is still an $8,000 to $10,000 gap. Let's say you bring in $2,000 a month. We want you to pay all of your income to the facility, and we are going to cover the rest for you. And that's important to understand here, because after you've been approved for it, it's not an automatic thing. You still need to have somebody, or you need to write that check to the facility every month or to the foster family for whatever their costs are, and the state is covering the difference of that care for you. So that's the first thing. The reason why, the intent of why income doesn't matter is because in the state's eyes, think of it, the more money that you bring home, the less they have to pay.
Right.
Easier for them.
Right.
They start taking a look at your assets next. And this is the biggie that everybody gets hung up on, is what is considered an asset and what exactly are we looking at here? Basically, what they're saying is anything besides your normal living things in the home, like your TV, your couch, your furniture, things like that, that you can sell and you can draw money from to help pay for your care, mm-hmm. they want you to spend first. So remember, let's go back to the example of a household of one or a single person or a widowed person that has that real low asset limit of $2,000. They're going to take a look at all your bank accounts. They're going to take a look at any retirement accounts or CDs that have an uncashed out portion of it. Okay. They're going to take a look at life insurance that has a cash surrender value. Remember, this is a lot of money that they're supplementing every month for you.
Right.
So they want to make sure that, hey, you spend all your money first and you are in the absolute need for this stuff. Okay. They're going to take a look at anything of those natures. Any fine jewelry you have can be considered.
Well, do they come in and inspect your house?
No, they're not going to come and inspect your house, but it's usually a disclosure up front for
okay.
it.
All okay. All right. Because I know some people, they got some expensive paintings too.
I understand.
I saw a place that had some nice Chinese antiques.
I get it. Trust me. But that's basically what they're looking at there. And like I said, they can look back over a 5-year period to see if you have given money away. Okay. Now I'm going to use a very extreme example here and to make the point on what they're actually looking at. So let's say I had $3,000 in my bank account and I was applying for Medicaid. And maybe a year ago, I gave $1,000 to my son for a birthday present. The state can literally look at it, and this is an extreme example, but they can look at it and say, hey, you gave $1,000 to your son. You said it was for a birthday present, but how do we know he's not holding it for you so you have access to it?
Right.
And that's really what it revolves around.
Wow.
Okay. Now, a lot of times, it's really not as sinister or it's not as complicated as it sounds here. You know, the state understands things, and the MedQuest workers, like you said, are great people. They're just like you and me, you know. And as long as we can explain it up front, everything that's going on or went into it, the better our odds are for getting approved.
But there are a lot of people that are doing it on purpose that I feel is not illegal, but to me it's kind of unethical.
Yeah, there are. And what I could say to that is, you know what? When we do it the right way, we try and tell the truth. You know, we say everything is flat on the board. We build the story from the get-go. So when I lay a case down in front of a MedQuest worker, I say, hey, here's all the information you need. Let's try and get a decision on this. We've disclosed everything up front. And it's no different than when we talk with our kids. You know, we tell them, hey, look, it's better for you to tell me the truth. You did something. You need everything right now.
Yeah, I tell my son that.
Yeah, I tell my son that all the time. Yeah. Then I come back and I find stuff and I have to ask you again later.
Exactly right.
That's the same thing dealing with any agency.
Plus, it slows down the process. So they get, you have more That's questions, right?
That's right. Oh. So if we can lay it all out up front, you know, we talk with the MedQuest workers. We say, hey, this is the situation. This is what it is. I know you're going to have questions on this. But this is what happened. This is what's going on with things here. It goes a lot smoother, and things tend to work a lot better with it.
Yeah. I did want to cover on the second half of the show that actually what happens when you actually apply. Was you actually help them fill out the application?
Yes. I actually will help them fill out the application.
You go to their house?
Either go to their house or I have an office they can come in to see me at as well. And we'll walk it over to MedQuest for them, and we'll walk it through the whole process.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, you hold their hand then?
Yes, the whole way through.
Well, I noticed there's a lot of different things. That's why I wanted to kind of wait till the second half of the show. There's a lot of specific things like, are you allowed to have a funeral plot?
Yes.
Are you allowed to have one for you and your wife?
Yes, you are.
What happens if you bought 3 or 4 or 5 for your kids?
Okay, so I'm going to say this.
So I just want to say that for later on.
Okay.
I'm just trying to tease our audience here. You know,
there we go. We'll touch on this.
I know we got to take a short break, but we want to come back because we miss Medicaid for long-term care is a serious topic. lot of great stuff from our guest here, Danny Bonilla from MedData. So let me take a short break, and we'll be right back.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Aloha, this is Martha Clopin.
And Al Harrington. Choosing the right Medicare plan not only saves you money, it also helps you avoid headaches and heartaches down the road.
We want to remind everyone
to listen to a Medicare moment with Martha, Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we help answer important questions on Medicare so you can stay healthy, wealthy, and wise all year long.
Call me at 543-2073. 543-2073.
Oahu's newest senior living community, Ilima at Lehano, is now open in the heart of Kapolei. Within this beautiful new community, offering independent living, assisted living, and memory care, you will experience a feeling of ohana that provides a sense of community and peace of mind for our kupuna. A range of spacious apartment styles are available, from large studios to spacious one- and two-bedroom plans, most with a large private lanai. Be one of the first to call Ilima your home. Visit ilimaatlehano.com. Or call 674-8022.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
Okay, so welcome back to Generations Radio. Now, don't forget our Facebook page. Please like us. We are posting every week, sometimes three or four times a week, different articles, different stories about aging. So like us. And also, you know, really, what I do a lot of times, I see stuff when I'm, you know, cruising at home, and I'll share it. And it's really important to share these stories of aging and different resources, because all your friends have family that they're going to at some point need care, at some point need a resource. So it's really important to share that. I highly recommend you do, because otherwise you're going to start calling me all the time. And they do call me at least once a day. Somebody, a friend of mine, will call me about their parent, about their neighbor, about their auntie. But and also what you can do is go to our Generations 808 website and search different topics you're looking at, whether it's fall prevention or Social Security or Medicare, caregiving. Just go on a search bar, type in caregiving, and it'll pull out all the articles in the past since day one. And thanks to Roy and Kathy Sukuma for being on our cover. Roy's got a great story about himself growing up. He's now, I'm sure he's okay with me saying, is 7 years old. His wife is younger, as you can tell. But they've been doing a great service to the community. And we're trying to get intergenerational more programs like that. But don't forget, this August-September issue is our biggest issue. And we'll feature in the middle our resource guide, which is the most popular resource guide, features all the senior discounts. So let me go pull this up right now, because actually I'm reading it online. If you get a chance, you can, any issue, you can read it online. And as well, you can go to our search bar and just you can look at the first one we did with Kirk Matthews. Love that guy. Unfortunately, he's passed away since. But anyway, let me just kind of give you some idea of these resource guides. Anyway, let me go look for it, because it's listed by in alphabetical and different by departments, entertainment, specialty shops, dining, miscellaneous. So in your dining, I was looking for one at 50 years old. Papa John's, by the way, is 50% off with their 50-50 card. Let me find another one here. 55 Ichiriki IHOP. Wow, I qualify for that. Wow, their discount's only 55 years old. Denny's is 55. I was just at Burger King with my son. It's 55 as well. I didn't know that. I missed out. So anyway, it's by age. I know there was a restaurant. I'm not too sure if it's in here anymore, but it used to be. I said, it's 80. I said, wow, why is it 80? It was actually a free dinner. Wow. If you're over 80. So anyway, go pull that. Let me see if it's still in here. Oh, they have one. Camellia. It's 90, though. I mean, if you live at 90, great. Free lunch or dinner if you reach 90 with Camellia Restaurant. Let's see here. You know what my favorite, Danny?
What's
Ross's.
That? Yes.
Tuesdays. 55 years old. I make it. Savers is 55 years as well. Wow, Aea Bowl is 55 as well. And then another one I'm seeing here. Well, Allstate's got retirement discounts at 55. Mark Dixon, my friend here from MidPack, he's an Allstate rep. Hi there, Mark. Anyway, 55 for Allstate discount.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, see, you're younger than me, so you're not even there yet, you and your wife. And so you got to get ready for this stuff. Now I'm looking at, I was golfing with some guys yesterday. They're like 7 years old. He goes, you're 57? Wow, you're a baby compared to, 70. But anyway, so don't forget, you can go online. All the YMCAs have our Generations magazine. On Oahu, you can go to Big City Diner. All the state libraries. That's probably the easiest place to get them at the state library, because they're on every island, including Molokai and Lanai. And thanks to the KTA people at the Big Island, all the KTAs have the Generations magazine. So thank you very much for you guys out there. But like I said, best way, go online, generations808.com. You can look at all those resources in there. But and don't forget our YouTube channel. You can go to YouTube, subscribe to Generations Magazine, and you'll find all our past radio shows like this one. So anyway, we're here at MedData. Danny Bonilla is talking about Medicaid planning and Medicaid qualifications for long-term care, because on the health side it's MedQuest. Is that right, Danny? MedQuest.
That's right.
So if you qualify asset income-wise, you can get health insurance. But we're talking about long-term care. So long-term care is, Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, from the clinical side, you have to qualify.
That's right.
You just
can't
be 55.
That's absolutely right. Like we said before, you go through what's called the HELOC inspection, or Hawaii level of care. And as long as you meet the points on the clinical side, you're passed with that check there.
Yeah. So what I want to do on this side, I want to ask a few specific questions about qualifying. Then actually, I want you to walk me through, if I have a friend or neighbor or relative that needs to get, what actually happens in the application process, okay?
Sure.
But first off, you said, now, for a lot of people don't know, I had a few people that bought plots for all their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in their name.
That's fine. That's fine. Here's the thing. A funeral plot and a funeral plan are actually allowable assets.
Right.
And what they look at here, and this is going to sound a bit grisly the way I'm going to say this to you, you can have multiple plots. There has to be a designated person for every plot. So, for example, I have 4 plots. I got to say this one is for me.
Okay.
Plot 2 is for my wife. Plot 3 is for my son. Plot 4 is for my brother Tom. And we're good.
So how do you verify that, can I ask? I'm thinking, because we have Valley Temples in a magazine now.
Well, a lot of times the funeral plan will be able to give it out here. And again,
this, you have to list it on the plan?
Correct. Either that, or it comes down to is when we speak with the MedQuest workers and when we lay out the case, and then we explain to them exactly, hey, this is what this is. And if they have questions for there, they will ask for very specific documents about the funeral plan that'll show these things.
Okay. What about cars? You know, Hawaii people are in love with cars. And I go to certain neighborhoods like 10 o'clock in the morning. It's this joke. So many cars on the streets. Like, do these guys not work? No, they're all working. They all have multiple cars.
I think that's the whole point behind this bike share initiative.
I live in town, and bike share is great for Waikiki.
That's right.
Some Kamoku area, but other than that, it's not going to be out on the west side of Mililani or Kailua, But
I think they're trying to get us to drive less here in town.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't think we're going to do it. Our car salesmen in Hawaii are so good.
Oh, yeah.
They can sell ice in Alaska, those guys. Nothing against them. I love my car. I love, all these sales. A couple of my buddies are sales guys. But, no, we just love easiness. We don't want to get outside in a hot sun and walk or ride bike. We want to drive. But so how many cars can you have?
So depends on how many people are in the household is what it boils down to.
Household, okay.
Correct. So when the state looks at a household, they look at a husband, a wife, and any minor children that are claimed on taxes for that husband.
What
and
about
wife.
Adult children?
If they are claimed on taxes, let's say they're disabled you're claiming them, that's what it all boils down to. So everybody can have a vehicle.
So husband and wife can have two cars.
That's right.
Okay. Even when I'm going into Medicaid?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now here's where it gets complicated. These guys that have kit cars, these special projects that we build in the garage, we restore these old cars. It goes back to the intent of everything. If we can sell it for cash above what we already have, then the state is probably going to ask us to do this if we are over the asset limit.
So, so if they don't list on the application, they're not going to come visit the house, right?
No, not at all.
Not to not say don't list it, but.
Not at all.
So that's considered an asset.
Yes, it is.
Oh. Okay. What if it doesn't run?
Still, if it can be sold, if it has a value.
I got it.
Think of it like this. You know what? I'm a car guy. I love these old hot rods that we have and we try and build up. Mm-hmm. Maybe sitting up on blocks in my garage. But you know what? Somebody's going to ask me to sell that engine at one point. They may ask for that for parts. Mm. They may ask for these rims I have here. Those are all can be considered an asset.
I got it. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
All right. What other kind of things? Like, I know a ring, you can have one ring, wedding ring.
That's right. You can have one wedding ring. Here's where it gets kind of touch and go. In Hawaii, we have a lot of nice Hawaiian jewelry, these big gold bracelets, and a lot of family heirlooms that are passed down through there. Mm-hmm. The state is not going to come into your house. This is not the Secret Service coming in and saying, hey, we're going to look through all your drawers to see what you have. But what I would say is if we're doing an application and we're going through the process, we're going to be honest up front with it and we're going to explain everything up front and we're going to disclose everything.
Will they ask you, do you have any Hawaiian jewelry?
They will ask you on the application. There is actually a question. Oh. So let's talk about the application itself and the whole process. This is something that when I meet with one of my clients, I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions. We're going to talk for about an hour. And what I really want to do is get in a hold of your situation, understand your unique situation.
And you go to their house too?
I do. So let's back up a little bit further then here. So let's talk as if you were coming in to come see me here.
Okay.
Or if I was coming to the house to come see you.
Okay.
First off, what makes me different than anybody else out there? I'm not going to charge you, or there's never going to be a fee for my services up front to come do any consultations to answer any questions that you have whatsoever. I'm here to help you, and I understand the attitude you have about you're better about planning than having to rely on Medicaid.
Right.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that point of view. That's perfectly legit. But there are people that have not planned.
Absolutely. A big population.
Yep. And I'm here to help you. One of the things that we talk about, and especially families, is what I like to call the unseen cost of getting old or going through a situation like this. Mm-hmm. I went through it with my family personally not too long ago. My grandmother passed away about a year ago. Before then, she was on the mainland, and my mother lived in the southern part of the state. My aunt lived in the northern part of the state, closer to my grandma. And what had happened was, My mom was taking care of her for so many years when my aunt still had her career and going out and doing things. Mm-hmm. And my mom was still trying to run her career and do things as well. And she lived about 2 hours away from where my grandmother lived. Eventually, when she went into a nursing home, it doesn't end there. You still need people to come visit you and family to go do things like that. My aunt's career took her all across the world for doing a lot of different things in the business she was doing. And my mom spent a whole lot of time, and it actually, what it ended up doing to them was causing frustration between my aunt and my mom, mm-hmm. because it's saying, hey, I'm taking care of everything here while you're going out and doing this. I've got a life here too. This is a big thing I like to call the unseen cost. It may not happen exactly like it does for you, mm-hmm. okay, or like it happened to me. Long the short of it, they had to talk for a long time and find a way to come together and both share the time with my grandmother. But families need to remember there is going to be a toll to them, and it's very stressful when you're taking care of a loved one like this. I would tell you, before anything, take a step back. Take a deep breath. Take assessment of the family around you here and realize you're not in this alone, okay?
Unless you're an only child.
Well, even then, you're not in this alone, yeah, really. I get it. You know, if it's not me, it could be anybody else, any other company like me. There are resources here to help you. And that's what we all want to do, is help the best we can. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes back to, I'm from the mainland originally. I'm from the East Coast.
I know. New York, right?
No, Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia. Oh,
Philadelphia.
Okay.
Philly boy.
Okay. But you look local, though, Danny.
You know, one of the great things that really impressed upon me about Hawaii when I came down here was the term ohana and aloha. And it gets thrown out here and there. We hear it, the aloha state, aloha this, aloha mm-hmm. that. But what it really means to me is that, you know what? The community considers itself almost like a family. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife is from Kauai. You go back to Kauai, where she's at, in Waimea, everybody knows everybody. It's a small knit community.
Yeah.
And that's great. And everybody looks out for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's the greatest thing Hawaii has. So what I say to you is, even if you're a single person, there's help out there for you.
Well, that's what we do.
Take a breath. Yep.
And that's why I wanted to have you come on and talk about this, because it is becoming a serious issue. It is becoming more prominent with question of yep. Medicaid that we have with our clients, people in a magazine. So I love the fact that you actually go to people's houses and you don't charge up front. And I always tell people, you shouldn't have to pay up front to talk to somebody yep. or meet and see whether they qualify or not. So let's talk right now about really the qualification and really what actually happens. Let's say I go to your office the first time. Yep.
So the first time I'm going to sit down, I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. A lot of the stuff we covered already when we talked about the qualifications between mm-hmm. income and assets. If you have documents, a lot of times we'll talk beforehand. I'm going to say, bring these things with you so we can look at it. What we're looking at is bank statements going back at least 3 months. If there's a life insurance policy, if there's a copy of that statement from the current life insurance policy, the state's going to look to verify certain things. The big three are citizenship, photo ID, assets, and income. I'm sorry, the big four. So they're going to ask for either a passport or a birth certificate if you have one. If you have a passport, you don't need to worry about the photo ID as long as it's current, because it'll cover both. But if not, a state ID or driver's license or something around that nature. Income statements they're also going to ask from, and that's how they're going to determine your cost share that we talked about before. So when you get Social Security, you get a letter in the beginning of the year called the Social Security Award Letter. Now, don't be confused. There's two. You get the statement and you get the letter. What they're looking for is the letter. And you're going to see it's usually about a trifold letter.
Right.
And on the left-hand side, you're going to see a bunch of paragraphs. And it's going to read something to the effect of your gross amount of income is, and there's going to be a line on the right with the number on it.
Right.
The next line is going to read, we deduct this much money for Medicare Part B premiums. And again, on the right, there's going to be the number that they deduct. Mm-hmm. Why the state's looking for that, remember, they base cost share off of gross income. So they're looking for that top line, the gross amount of your income is this. If you get a pension, you should be getting a statement at least annually that shows them that as well, too. the amount, less any deductions, less taxes, less whatever deductions you might have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we talked about the income part of it. Now, the assets they're looking for, like I said, bank statements at least going back 3 months.
That's okay. All 3 months?
3 months to start. Okay.
Oh, even start. Okay.
Okay. So why I say it like that is the normal processing time for an application can take up to 90 days for the state. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that you stay under assets for those whole times as well. So let's say we're applying today. Today we're in August. So they're going to ask for 3 months back of bank statements. And let's say it takes them the 90 days to make their decision. They're going to want to see September's bank statement as well to make sure that you're still under assets. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to see October's to make sure you're still under assets. So it's like that.
Okay. So I don't think you bring a year of statements. No, unless a red flag shows up.
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
You know, and most times, we talked about that 5-year look back period. Most times what we're providing up front here is well enough to suffice to meet what they're looking for on it. You know, if they have questions, they can ask you to go back further. But more times than not, that'll do it. And it really boils down to is when we go and lay the case in front of a MedQuest worker, how well we paint the picture for them, how well we're able to lay it all out. Now, their normal process is once we submit an application, they will send you a letter in the mail asking for all these things.
Mm.
I ask you to bring this stuff up front for that very reason. So I can go to the MedQuest worker and say, hey, this is everything. This is all that you should need. We've laid it all out here. If you have any questions, you let me know. But this will give you in detail everything that you should want to know about this case. Let's get a decision.
Hmm. Okay. So, I'm thinking, so for the cars, you can have two cars. You get one ready wing each plots as long as you identify who the plot's for,
mm-hmm.
one each. And then let's say you have like $300,000 in assets. That kind of kicks them out already, right?
Yes. Yes, so, that would.
But I know some people do that planning where they kind of get rid of assets quickly, legally.
Well, there's two ways you can do it. You're taking a look at either paying for your care up front and then taking the long path through and saying eventually your assets are going to be down to the level and at that time apply.
But the there caveat to also, that, though...
There is also another way that you're talking about. And what you're talking about is literally triggering those transfer rules and saying, okay, we are going to dispose of the assets right now. Now, Medicaid will say, okay, you're more than welcome to do that. However, you are now going to have to face a penalty period of how many months you're going to have to wait before you are eligible. And it's a calculation they use based on the value of your assets. It will tell them how many months you're going to have to wait, even if you're under the asset limit right now and mm-hmm. you're qualified on the clinical side before they will approve. So what it comes down to really when we get to a situation like that is what's more beneficial for you. You know, and we can look at it. We can do that calculation and say, hey, we think the state's going to say you need to wait 6 months, 9 months before you're eligible versus spending this all on your own. The decision's up to you. I mean, it's what is your plan for these monies? What are you looking to do with it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
and my understanding, too, is that if you're going to do that and spend money up front to pay for private care, you want to make sure that facility also takes Medicaid.
That's right.
So when they run out of money,
that's
they can
right.
still stay there, not be displaced.
Absolutely right.
Right?
Absolutely mm-hmm. right.
Now, are you hearing anything with all these changes with Medicare and Trump and everything like that? Are there any cut in services or anything like that? Is that anything? Nothing definitive yet, is it?
There's nothing definitive yet. And, you know, this is something I've kind of watched on the news going here and there, what's going on in the big battle over health care. If they were to cut Medicaid, it would affect a lot of people across the country. And it doesn't matter if you're Republican, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat.
Yeah.
What we saw when they were trying to pass and get rid of the or repeal the Affordable Care Act and cut Medicaid in that way, a lot of people were coming back on both sides of the parties.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, hey, no, you cannot do this. We don't want you to do this.
I don't think they're going to touch Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, you know. But,
I don't think so either. I think we're safe in what we have right now. And
not more.
I don't think more. But I think we're pretty safe for what we're doing right now.
But what I'm scared about is that as more baby boomers and more seniors Mm-hmm. Even though they're living longer than ever before, at some point, we're going to see a lot of people have to go on Medicaid.
That's right.
And then what happens then? Are they going to, you know, I think right now, Social Security and Medicare, it was like 51-55% of the national budget and the state of Hawaii's budget. What happens when it gets to 60-65%? What are they going to do then?
Well, that's going to be a tough
question.
That's
what I'm worried about. Yeah. You know, but I just thought on one thing. We talked about earlier when I had a client that called me and said about a life estate. Mm-hmm. So you can qualify for Medicaid with a life estate?
It depends. So here's what the questions I've seen come through. I had a case recently where it was a brother and sister, and the brother originally owned the property but transferred it into the sister's trust. Okay. Now, it had been less than 5 years what they did that for. I'm sorry, let me take that back. Actually, in this case, it had been more than 5 years. And what they were saying is the brother has a life estate to live in that property. So when the state was looking at the case, they were looking at it as possibly asking the sister to remove that property from the trust so they can place the lien on the property.
Mm.
And I worked with their attorney on this, and what he came back with at the time was saying that the state can place the lien on the life estate of the patient there. And I don't know if that's exactly right. The way the rules are written are very, very vague.
They're always vague.
and really, we brought this up to some of the higher-ups at Medicaid, too, and we asked them, you know, practically, how would this work? You know, if one of your workers were to get this case in front of you, what would they say? And what he came back with was just that, you know, it's very vague the way it's written. So our instruction would be, hey, to take the property out of the trust, and would have to go to the next step from there, or it might have to go to appeals process for there to determine where the lien would be placed, if it could or could not be placed on that.
But you had mentioned that they were placing a dollar value on life expect a dollar value in life estate depending on the life expectancy of the
correct.
Of that
so
person.
When so you got to remember, a life estate itself has two parts of it. Okay, it has the remainder value. Basically, what you're saying, when you start off with a life estate, you own a value of interest in that property there, and every year you live, it decreases based on an actuary table. Mm. Okay. So this is.
I've actually never heard that, but okay.
But this is where I was getting with the attorney, where I said I don't think this would work because he was saying, okay, they can actually place the lien on that life estate there, and I said, okay, well, if that's a decreasing value, and we know the intent is the state needs to get paid back, at the end of your life, there's not going to be any value in that life estate.
Right.
What's the state going to get paid back on?
Well, I think they may not even qualify them because of that portion, but it's something that I think until it actually happens, because that's the reason why they're so vague.
That's
in these
right.
Rules, you know.
But, that's right.
But do you see an increase in the amount of calls you're receiving regarding people that want to try and get on Medicaid?
Oh yes, I'm seeing a great increase. Right now, typically my workload, I see anywhere from about 6 to 10 cases a week.
Wow, okay. Really? After this radio show and your appearances at an aging in place, it's going to be a lot more.
Actually, I got to thank you for that, Percy, because a lot of them have come from the Generations magazine, you know, as well as other sources around the community as well. But
it gets our word out there. We're getting living longer. At some point, like I said, you're not going to die right away, so you'll need some form of care. And I think, like I said, the state and Department of Health, Department of Human Services do a great job. But, you know, I got to thank you, Danny, for, you know, taking this role on as a Medicaid specialist at MedData. You know, you have the compassion and work with families. You have personal experiences yourself. And that's what it really takes to serve in our community. And the capacity to do, I thank you very much. So I do hope people call you. I do hope you understand that it is no cost up front to call you. At least get some questions answered, you know. So thank you very much. Anyway, Danny, how do people get a hold of you real quick before I forget?
Okay. No worries. Easy way to reach me, and it's an easy number to remember. It's 808-566-6666.
That's your number?
Yep. Five and all sixes.
566-6666. Ask for Danny Bonilla, or you can go to MedData, but probably just give Danny a call. He's always around. If he's not around, they'll page him or call him, and they'll call his cell phone. But anyway, thank you for coming to the AGM Place workshop. We'll get you on our on our KITV. And don't forget, every Saturday morning about 6:45, 7 o'clock, KITV does an Aging Well segment. And don't forget, Facebook page and YouTube channel. Thank you very much, everybody. Aloha and live well, Danny. Hey, say aloha to the family there.
Hey, aloha, and thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate
today,
it, Danny. Percy. Aloha.